Hi, everybody. It's a. I do want to thank both the mentors and the JLE for giving us such a full base medrash on Friday. Friday is sometimes the weaker day in the base medrash. People are getting ready for Shabbos. But Baruch Hashem, it's especially a wonderful feeling to walk in and hear the Kol Torah, the animated discussions of Torah. In fact, I feel a little guilty. I feel very guilty kind of interrupting such good learning. So please forgive me, and I hope that this will not count as a bittul of your Torah. I was asked to talk a little bit about Shabbos, and of course, vis-a-vis the JLE, we spoke twice, long talks about Shabbos last week, so I don't want to repeat everything that we talked about. Obviously, we know that the mitzvah of Shabbos appears many times in the Torah, and in particular, it appears in the two versions of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus, the fourth commandment begins, "Remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy." And in Deuteronomy, it has the word shamor, to observe Shabbos. So one is remember, and one is observe. And which one did Hashem say? So as we say in our davening, shamor v'zachor b'dibur echad, God communicated the two words simultaneously in a way that we don't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said both at the same time, and we heard two distinct words, shamor and zachor. The difference between shamor and zachor, our sages tell us, that shamor is primarily the negative of Shabbos. One refrains from the various activities of work. And zachor are the positive aspects of Shabbos. We remember Shabbos by kiddush, by having meals in honor of Shabbos, by singing, by dancing, by celebrating Shabbos in a positive way. Theoretically, one could do one without the other. If I sleep for 25 hours, I have not violated Shabbos. I have fulfilled the observance of Shabbos because there's not a single malacha that I've done. On the other hand, I certainly have not honored Shabbos in that appropriate way. Conversely, if one makes kiddush and one has meals, one has fulfilled zachor, but one has not fulfilled the observance of Shabbos. And the idea that they were both said b'dibur echad reminds us that Shabbos has to be kept in both of those aspects. Again, I don't want to be marich, I don't want to elaborate that much on what is the concept of work on Shabbos. Suffice it to say that the Hebrew word malacha is not the same as physical work. In point of fact, there's a lot of physical work you can do on Shabbos. I could schlep furniture in this room from one end to the other end, and in fact, as you will see, our Or Sameach staff, our waiters and the like, work physically quite hard on Shabbos. So the definition of malacha is not physical work. Conversely, there are things that take very little physical exertion that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. I think of an example. When I was growing up in Hartford, Connecticut, and most of my classmates in the local day school in Hartford were not Orthodox, because in those days there were no conservative day schools, so even people who were not Shabbos observant, if they wanted their kids to have some Jewish education, they would send them to the Orthodox day school. So I remember that I was once walking on a very, very hot summer day around 5 miles to go to a classmate's bar mitzvah, and a few people drove by in their cars, and they offered me a ride, which, you know, religious Jews do not ride in cars on Shabbos. And my response was, well, I'm sorry, I can't get into the car on Shabbos. And they asked, why not? And it's kind of hard to explain. Well, getting into a car is forbidden work on Shabbos. So instead, I will have to walk 5 miles in the hot summer sun. Now, that doesn't compute exactly. In terms of the physical hardship of the work, it's a lot easier to get into that air-conditioned car than it is to walk 5 miles in the sun. And obviously, you see from that type of dichotomy that this has nothing to do with work. And indeed, the key to this, to malacha, is a comment, an explanation of Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, the great, great 19th century rabbi of the Jews in Germany, where Rav Hirsch explains that malacha is not physical exertion. Melacha is my mastery over the raw materials of nature. Since Shabbos is a recognition that God made the world in 6 days, and I acknowledge God as the creator of the world, so what I do is I refrain from exercising my mastery over the raw materials of nature. I refrain from exercising my creativity in the physical universe to acknowledge that God is the source of all of that. And therefore, a verse says, all malacha is keyed to your ability to transform the raw materials of nature, whether it's planting, harvesting, sowing, writing, even carrying, although carrying is not a transformation of an object, but given the fact that objects are situated in time and place, even changing the location of an object from a private domain to a public domain is a type of mastery. And that is why the old argument that I remember hearing even as a child, where people say, oh, you can't turn on a light on Shabbos. Well, in the olden days, you couldn't start a fire because it was so much hard work. You had to take two rocks and it took hours and hours. Today, how can you talk about flipping an electric switch as molacha? But according to Rav Hirsch's definition, it's even more of a malacha, because it really involves our shalita, our control, our domination of nature. Man is very powerful. We are made in the image of God, indeed. We can destroy this world, maybe not the whole world, because Hashem has certain promises here, but we can certainly destroy 99% of the world, as long as it's not 100%. We can destroy things. We build. We conquer diseases. We drain swamps. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us many, many abilities and powers. And that's a great gift, and it's a great responsibility. But the problem is, we sometimes get carried away with our power, our hubris, our greatness, our ability. And then, as the Torah itself warns us, Kochi v'yotzim yadi asali es kol achaya lazeh, that we are prone to the attitude that it is my strength and my ability that has accomplished all of these great things in the world. Shabbos basically says, hold back, refrain, know that yes, we are given great blessings, great powers, great potential, but ultimately it all comes from God, and therefore Shabbos is about refraining from the exercise of our power over the universe, to acknowledge that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's interesting that we know that every Jewish boy, of course, has to have a bris milah, circumcision. And it's interesting that the symbolism of circumcision and the symbolism of Shabbos work in opposite ways that are ultimately complementary. You know, there is an anti-circumcision movement, at least in the United States, some other countries, unfortunately, there are Jews that are involved in it. And occasionally, an anti-circumcision person will even put forth a religious argument, although it's patently absurd to make a religious argument against circumcision when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. But their argument is, who do you think you are? If God wanted Jewish boys to be circumcised, he would have created them circumcised. Hashem creates a human being a certain way, and you think you have the right to change it? What are you doing? This is not a new question. This was a question, according to the Medrash, that a matronisa, a Roman princess, asked the great Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva gave the mashal, he gave the parable, of wheat. Human beings need bread. Why doesn't God just give us bread growing from the ground? After all, we even say in our blessing for the bread, Hamotzi lechem min aretz, he brings forth bread from the earth. Last time I looked, that wasn't true. We have to plant the wheat seeds, and then what grows from the earth is wheat. It has to be threshed. It has to be harvested. It has to be threshed. It has to be husked. You have to take off the husk. You have to grind it into flour. You have to knead it into dough. You have to bake it. Why doesn't God do more of this job? And Rabbi Akiva's answer is, once again, just as I discussed about the oral law and Gemara learning, Hashem leaves things in a certain state of incompletion because he wants us to be his partners. So Bris Milah basically means God created the Jewish male to be somewhat incomplete and defective, requiring our action to bring it to a shlemus. Just as Hashem did not turn the wheat into bread, but he left it to us, so too in the spiritual realm. Hashem left the ultimate rectification to us. And therefore, Bris Milah teaches us that our faith in Hashem cannot be passive or quiescent. It must be active. We have to take initiative. We can't look at the evils of the world and simply say, Hashem will take care of it. Yes, Hashem takes care of it. But we have to do what we can. So in a sense, Bris Milah highlights the partnership between man and God. It highlights the power of man, the autonomy of man, the obligation to seize the moment and take initiative. Shabbos, on the other hand, is exactly the opposite message, that it reminds us that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're powerless. If Bris Milah highlights our power, Shabbos highlights our weakness and our passivity, and a Jew needs both. On one hand, we have to be rooted in faith, rooted in emunah, knowing that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is nothing we can accomplish. On the other hand, Bris Milah reminds us, you can never allow your faith in Hashem to be an excuse for not doing whatever you can to make the world a better place, to bring holiness into the world. And even scientific endeavors or technological endeavors or anything that contributes to the world, one has a responsibility to try to do. Bris Milah reminds us of our power, and Shabbos reminds us of the source of our power, that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are simply unable to do any of this. And that is indeed one of the reasons why the Medrash points out that a Bris Milah is the eighth day, because that necessitates that every Jewish baby experience a Shabbos, because without absorbing the lessons of Emunah, a sense of our power will turn into arrogance, hubris, gaiva, and the like, and therefore we need Shabbos to be part of our soul. So one should not simply look at Shabbos as an endless series of do's and don'ts. I know that it can be very daunting if you're not used to it. Can't turn on the lights are turned on ahead of time, can't rip the toilet paper, has to be ripped ahead of time. And initially it seems bewildering, it seems confusing, it doesn't seem initially to make a lot of sense. But first, rest assured that after a while you get used to the routine, it does not become so daunting. But even more importantly, instead of looking at it as simply a bunch of million and one rules, look at it essentially that this is the one day where we understand that everything comes from Hashem, and we don't exercise our power over the universe, over the material world, over the technological world. And of course, given the proliferation of social media, it is certainly a great, great blessing that on Shabbos Kodesh, no Facebook, no Twitter, and I'm not opining whether that's appropriate during the week either, but I'll put that aside. We don't have virtual communities. You got to look your friend in the eye. You got to talk to your wife, not through a cell phone. And in a sense, Shabbos is not only the fostering of our relationship with the Almighty, but Shabbos allows us to create the meaningful bonds of connection with those that we love and those that we should love. It creates friendship. It creates camaraderie. It creates interaction. In many homes, this might be the only time that parents and children have time to get together, and it's really tragedy and sad when even on Shabbos sometimes people are running around and they don't have that chance. Part of what Shabbos is the notion of husband and wife, parent and child, friends. It's a time for outreach. It's a time for teaching Torah. Again, in Shabbos you make time for everything. You sleep a little. Indeed, sleeping on Shabbos is considered to be a delight. You drink a little. You eat perhaps more than a little. You sing, you say words of Torah. prayer to Hashem. Shabbos is the whole package. Shabbos brings all of the elements of what it is to have a meaningful Jewish life and indeed a meaningful human life. All come together. And it's a real, real shame if we squander that opportunity. I could talk about the sin of desecrating Shabbos, and I can talk about how serious punishment it entails. But I would prefer to emphasize another aspect of it, and that is the opportunity that Shabbos gives us, and how sad it is to squander such a precious and beautiful opportunity. And indeed, it's very fascinating that the most common word for sin in the Hebrew language, there are a number of words, is the word chet. Now, instead of saying, I committed a sin, a person might say, I committed a chet. But it's fascinating that the etymological origin of the word chet is not sin. It means missed opportunity. For example, if I shoot an arrow at a target and I miss the arrow, so that's called lahachati es hamatara, I missed. Right? So that's a wonderful way of thinking about it. Instead of being guilty and feeling so bad about things, a chet is simply a recognition. Gee, I had such a great opportunity. Isn't it sad that I passed it up? But you know, God is in his infinite rachamim has given us Shabbos every single week. So even if a person messed up, missed the opportunity, there's always another opportunity. And indeed, the importance of Shabbos, sometimes even religious Jews, we might take Shabbos for granted. It comes so often. And yet, that's exactly the point. There is more oxygen in the world than there is water, because breathing is even more important than drinking water. There is more water in the world than there is steak, because you need water more than steak. Sometimes the more often something is, the more important it is. You need it. Shabbos is what keeps us spiritually alive. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, one of the great commentators, actually says that the world is given on Shabbos the spiritual energy that will allow it to endure for 6 more days. And the next week's energy will come in only because there is some Jew in the world that's keeping Shabbos. He actually says, the Or HaChaim says, if God forbid, Baruch Hashem, it's never happened, if God forbid a given Shabbos would come in which no Jew kept Shabbos at all, the universe at the end of Shabbos would cease to exist, because what comes into the world that keeps it going is the holiness of Shabbos as manifest in the observance of the Jewish people, and even one Jew. And obviously, therefore, the quality of the spiritual energy that comes into the world is affected by the magnitude of our Shabbos, both in terms of quantity, how many people are keeping it, and in terms of quality. So Baruch Hashem, JLE people, you're fortunate to be in the holiest place of the world. I don't mean Or Sameach Beis Medrash, although Baruch Hashem we're a holy place, but the city of Yerushalayim. Tonight you're going to be really at the holiest place of the world, or at least near the holiest place of the world. The holiest place is the Holy of Holies, and you know, we're not allowed to go there, but you'll be the Western Wall adjacent to that area. So you're going to combine the holiest place in the world with the holiest day in the world. And that combination of time and place, and of course, you yourselves have the holiest entity in the world, and that is the neshama, that is in the image of God. So you combine the neshama with the holiness of Shabbos, and the holiness of Yerushalayim, and the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash. You have a rare, wonderful, beautiful opportunity to open your heart to godliness, to feel the presence of the Shekhinah, and to connect to the hundreds, if not thousands, of Jews that you're going to see. I don't need to say that, in a way, this week we've had many, many difficult events that have occurred. All of us are saddened by the tragedies of the 3 exceptionally fine Bachrim B'nai Torah that were brutally murdered by terrorists. And we hoped against hope that there would be a Yeshua, but again, they were probably killed before we even were aware that they were abducted. But one of the gifts that come out of even such a difficult experience is that for 18 days, our often fractured people, whether it was Hasidim and non-Hasidim, religious, secular, whatever it was, people were united. We were united in our prayers, we were united in our hopes, we were united in turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a salvation. And that was a gift that came at an awful price, to be sure. But it was a precious gift, it is a precious gift. One of the things we need to think about in our own lives is how to hold on to that achdus, how to hold on to that unity, how to hold on to that love. And what you're going to see at the Kotel tonight, and anyone that's been there knows this, is not only at the holiest place, the holiest day, but you're going to be connected to Jews of all types of Jews. Ashkenazim, Sephardim, different types of Hasidim. You can write a whole book on the nuances of dress. Religious Jews, secular Jews, and people daven, not together because everyone has their own minyan, but people are davening next to each other. People dance together, people sing together. And the Kotel reminds us, as few other places do, that in spite of our disagreements, in spite of our machlokas, we are one nation. We are an Am Yisrael. We love each other, we care about each other. We have our family fights, to be sure, and family fights can sometimes be vicious. But nevertheless, fundamentally, that Shabbos can be a lesson in Achdus and Avas Yisrael as well. And again, to remember that you can't really have a relationship with God unless you have a relationship with God's children. It's like somebody saying, I love you, but I hate your kids. Well, you can't really love me if you hate my kids. My kids are part of me. The Jewish people are God's children. If you love God, you love God's children. You care about them. So these are the things to think about as we enter Shabbos. Yes, there are a lot of do's and don'ts, but remember that in order to fully absorb the Shabbos, you try to take it as a total package, and then you get the power, the immense power of that experience, what Chazal call the Neshama Yesera, the extra soul, an enhanced capacity for spirituality. In a sense, Hashem is everywhere, but our ability to receive depends very much on time and place. I just wanted to share with you another thought about Shabbos, something that's interesting. We, of course, pray. We have our davening on Shabbos. We have what is called the Amida, the standing up prayer. But you know, there's something unique about the Shemona Esrei, the Amida of Shabbos, that we don't really have in any other Amida. Normally, you have the first three blessings, the last three blessings, they're the same all the time, except for Shem Yom Kippur, but they're the same all the time. But then there is a middle blessing that talks about the specialness of the day. We have this middle blessing on Shabbos, and we have this middle blessing on holidays. But what's interesting is, when it comes to the holidays, the middle blessing is always the same for the evening prayer, the morning prayer, and the afternoon prayer. It's the same one. Shabbos is the only liturgy of the whole year where the middle blessing assumes a different formulation, at least in part, in the evening, in the morning, and at mincha. In the evening, it talks about creation, that God created heaven and earth, and he rested on Shabbos. So the theme of Friday night is God as creator of heaven and earth. In the morning, we talk about God giving Moshe the tablets, the Ten Commandments, and Moshe coming down from Har Sinai. So the theme of the evening is creation. The theme of the morning is revelation, the giving of the Torah at Sinai. And then the theme of Shabbos Mincha, where we talk about God is one and we are one, is really talking about the Messianic era of redemption, when God's name will be one, and God will be acknowledged as one, and his name is one. So thematically, what you have in the Shabbos davening is an articulation of three basic ideas: creation, revelation, and ultimate redemption. This is a unique twist. In other words, for every other Yom Tov, Maariv, the evening prayer, Shacharis, the morning prayer, and Mincha is always the same. Only by Shabbos do we have a distinct change in the focus of the ideas. And this would suggest that Shabbos, by definition, is a transitional and transforming experience. We enter Shabbos and we go through different stages that are reflected in the liturgy. The liturgy is mirroring and echoing changes that we ourselves go through. How could this be so? The very first thing you experience as Shabbos begins is you feel that you are recreated. You're like a new person. All of the pressures of the week simply vanish from you. That is actually part of why people are so unusually tired Friday night, because they're finally relieved of all of those responsibilities. In fact, our sages actually tell us that one of the mitzvahs of Shabbos, when it says 6 days you shall work, now technically you would think, well, that's not a mitzvah of Shabbos, that's a mitzvah for the 6 days. No, the Mechilta actually says 6 days shall you work means that when you enter Shabbos, you are obligated to psychologically feel that all your work is done. Now, in truth, none of us has ever entered a Shabbos with all of our work done. But you stop thinking about it. You're free. That is described as rebirth. You're like a baby that has been born into freedom. No responsibilities. I mentioned last week the story of Herman Welk, who was producing in the 1950s. He was working on producing one of his novels for a Broadway play. I think it was The Caine Mutiny. And they were working 18 hours around the clock. And the play was going to open Saturday night, and he tells his co-producer Friday afternoon, "I'll see you." And the co-producer thought he was going to the bathroom and said, "Be back in 10 minutes. We don't have time." And Herman Welk said, "I'm sorry. I'm going to be gone for 27 hours. And I will be back a half an hour before show opening." And the person said, "Are you crazy? Our Broadway show is opening up and you're going to just take off the last 27 hours? And Herman Welk said that although he had been a Shomer Shabbos, that's the first time he realized, you know, if it's not a matter of life and death, you just say no. So that's stage one. Freedom, creation. I'm reborn. But as wonderful as that is, as liberating as that is, that's not enough. Because if all you have is freedom from the outside world, you haven't yet given a content to your life. Free to do what? Free to be what? That is why we say that true freedom is not simply the absence of restriction. True freedom is submission to the will of Hashem. And thus, you move from the idea of being recreated to the idea of Torah, the giving of the Torah, revelation, which is the theme of the morning. The same way in the holiday cycle, without being too lengthy here, the holiday of Pesach, freedom, is connected to the holiday of receiving the Torah through the counting of the Omer. Because freedom without Torah is just anarchy, so too within Shabbos itself, we move from creation to revelation. I've mentioned before the beautiful statement of the poet Tagore, who was not Jewish at all, and he was not saying it about Judaism, but he actually said, "A human soul is like a violin string that is capable of producing beautiful music. But when it's totally loose and free, a loose string on the kitchen table, it produces nothing at all. It's only when it's stretched on the frame is it able to express." So too, the beauty of our souls becomes expressible only when it is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's framework. So we go from creation, which is freedom, to revelation, which is submission to God. But that's not enough either. we then need redemption. Now, what is redemption? Redemption is liberating ourselves from estrangement. On the national level, it refers to Mashiach. It refers to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It refers to the ingathering of the exiles, of course. But Sifrei Chassidus, Chassidic Sfarim, tell us that there is ultimately not just a political and national gullus, exile, but there's an exile within our souls when we feel estranged and separated from God. And that exile can manifest itself in many ways. I feel distant from Hashem. I feel estranged from my fellow human being, whether it's husband, wife, parent, child, or one Jew to another Jew. And ultimately, there can be an estrangement within a person's own personality, where their mind knows what they should be thinking, what they should be doing. But the heart and the mind are working at a disconnect. The heart and the mind are not feeling. What I feel is not connected to what I should be feeling, what I should be thinking. And that is called estrangement. They say in the name of Nachum of Breslov, other people quoted from Saul Salanter, so they're totally opposite sources, that the greatest distance in the world is the distance between the head and the heart. So when we talk about unity, Ato Echad, God is one and we are one, we are referring to all of the types of unities. Unity between man and God, unity between man and his fellow man, unity between husband and wife, parent and children, unity among Jews, and unity within ourselves, that we should just be able to bridge our mind and our hearts and be authentic, be whole, be real. And that is inner redemption. And if enough of us achieve that inner redemption, we will then merit the geula of Am Yisrael and the world that God has promised us. So, Shabbos, in theory, is a progression. We start with freedom, and we move to commitments, Matan Torah. And then we strive and we turn to Hashem to give us the inner redemption where my emotions will be in sync with my mind. And in theory, this is the opportunity that every single Shabbos offers us. In theory. Do we always take advantage? Perhaps not. But this is the great potential. This is the precious treasure that the Ribono Shel Olam has left for us. And, you know, Chazal say, the definition of a foolish person is one who is given something precious and does not take advantage of it. May all of us merit in this holiest of cities, at the holiest of places, to take the holiest of this day, the holiest of all days. Let it penetrate our soul. Let it elevate us. Let it inspire us. And let it be the catalyst for changes in our lives that will carry forth, not only for this Shabbos, but really for the rest of our lives. I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom and a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Breidowitz.